You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.
All right, good evening. This is Paul.
And this is Sherry.
And we are here to do another podcast, babe.
We are.
Babe, do you know how many podcasts this is?
Don't ask me that.
I'm going to ask you every time.
Stop. I'm going to be the leader then. You answer the question.
This is our sixth podcast, babe. Holy cow. I'm excited about this. Okay, well, hey, we are on the end of a two-week, the Army calls it managed leave. So it's like a two-week vacation. And we have just had the most amazing time. If you are one of my friends on social media, I've been sharing some pictures. And we've got to see whales, and we've got to climb mountains, and it's just been amazing. And the sun has been out the last couple of days here in Alaska, this has been a rough summer in Alaska so far, hasn't it, babe?
Yes, but we're not going to complain about that, Paul?
No, we're not, because the preacher called us out on this morning. Everybody complaining about these rough summers in Alaska, so.
Oh, we do not want to be those negative people.
We don't want to be those negative. Hey, Pastor Brian Cook, we listen to what you're saying, man. So, anyways, yeah, but it's been beautiful, and so we've just been enjoying that, but we have some stuff to talk about today that I know a lot of parents are working through, and we're going to talk about discipline. It's one of the baby steps in the first half parenting process, how to do discipline that works. And so we've got six ideas that we're going to share with you I think will be helpful for you. But before we jump into that, we have a question from one of our listeners. Kristen wrote us, and she said, hey, by the way, to all of you who are writing in, just, you know, letting us know that you're listening to the podcast and sharing some of the takeaways, asking questions. We genuinely appreciate that. Keep doing that. It encourages us. You know, it feels good to know that somebody other than just my mom is listening. So we're grateful for that. And, you know, let us know how we can help you. All right. So Kristen says, right now, so a little context, they have four children and the oldest is six. Okay. So those are little people. Right now, we're really just trying to figure out how to stay organized with household chores. With both of us working and trying to establish some type of realistic budget for us, what are some tips that will help us on this journey? Mrs. Peterson, that's your cue.
Yeah, what? I answer the questions you ask them?
No, I just read the questions and you answer them. That's just my job. I'm the host.
You are not the host. Okay, so Kristen, I would say to you, for us, we sat down and I kind of walked through the house. Paul and I I probably thought more through the house of what needed accomplished, through the week that I felt like, you know, needed to happen Monday through Friday. And then I gave, according to your children's ages, the chore level that was appropriate. And I would say, I think with both of you working, I mean, that is a large load. So I would give yourself a little bit of grace, a little bit of room. But I found that the easiest way to help your kids jump in and kind of be excited about it was, literally after dinner for us, we made a chore chart.
Yep.
And on Mondays, let's just say everybody had their chore. And I would start the, this sounds a little crazy, but when they were little, I would start the cleanup song on the TV.
You want to sing it?
No, I do not want to.
Right. It's the Barney cleanup song.
But, and so parent, I mean, I would encourage you, whatever, you know, whatever, Kristen, whatever, wherever you find yourself at in life, whatever you're listening to, that could be a big encouragement to cleaning up. I would put that song on and then take a half hour of everybody, including your spouse, being very dedicated. And, you know, with little kids at that age, it might be in your husband with two and you with two, and you kind of work through their chores, you know, along with them. And it's just cleanup time. And then I would find that we would put the kids to bed.
Yep.
And Kristen, early bedtime early bedtime.
Yes.
So our kids were in bed by 7:30, depending on the age. So that way at 7:30, then I could look at Paul and say, okay, now we have the next half hour to finish the job of, you know, adult cleanup. So I just think, you know, making it a fun time, and not long, but just kind of, you know, doing what you feel like is important every day to keep the house functioning and in order. And it's all hands on deck. Teach your kids at a young age. I mean, we had I remember when our kids were little, like, I would literally be in the playroom with them, and they were picking up their toys, and I was teaching them exactly where to put them in that time frame. So I think, you know, just be realistic. And then on the weekend, when you have more time, maybe you take an hour together and you all pitch in, jump in, make it fun. Make it something that's not, you don't want to punish your kids with chores. You want to help them grow into responsibility of learning that everything has a place. And what's the saying?
A place for everything and everything, everything in its place.
Yes, exactly. And your home will run so much more smoothly.
Babe, that was really good. We could actually just put a period on this podcast. This would be our shortest podcast ever if we did that right now.
That is not what we're talking about.
Hey, I want to circle back to a couple things you said. One was music.
Yes.
Don't punish with chores. Make it fun.
Yes.
And we still do that.
Yes.
Every night after supper, like, we turn on music. Like, if you're next door to our, if you're our neighbor, please forgive us.
And our windows are open.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're blaring, you know, for us, generally the music of choice is, like, 90s country, and we are blaring
or
it.
Or I love that old-time rock and roll, right?
Rock and roll.
And
right.
The vacuum is running
the
for
vacuum's
half hour.
Going. People are doing dishes and putting them away. We're laughing.
Picking up stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so music is a big thing. You know, on good energy music. And
make it a happy home, yeah.
Right, and then, you know, each person has their chore, you know, and it could be as little as, hey, your chore is to pick up all the shoes and put them under the,
yes,
you know, under the, wherever you put them.
Yeah.
So that would be the first thing. The second thing, Kristen, I would say to you is, on podcast number 3, we talked about creating a great environment, and you have to determine what you value in your home.
Yes.
Do you value,
yes,
do you value organization? Do you value cleanliness? Do you value fun? Do you value adventure? What are the things that you value? Figure out that, and then you can kind of begin to shape the environment of your home around that. And so for us, one of the things that we did value was just a clean, organized home. I mean, that was very important to Sherry. And so we figured out how to do that and work that into the regular rhythm of our life so that, you know, every day when the kids came home, it wasn't like, hey, we're going to drop our crap at the door and walk away.
Yes.
They just learned when you come in from the door, you hang up your backpack, you put your shoes where they belong. You put your homework in a certain place. And
yes.
So I would encourage you to go back and listen to podcast number 3, How to Create a Great Environment. I would encourage you to make music and fun a part of the cleanup process, and then just make it a daily ritual. You know, don't wait until you're treading water, so to speak, to get started. Just a little bit every day, and you'd be surprised how nice your house, you know, can stay. And then I think you hit it there too, babe, and that is, you got 6 people in your house. The average age is probably like 8. You know, give yourself a little grace. You know what I'm saying? You're not living in a house that's inhabited by 2 adults. It's now 2 adults and, you know, 6 little crumb crunchers.
4.
So, I'm sorry, 4 little crumb crunchers. Yeah. I didn't mean to do that to you. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, so. I would put in too. I think that I just real quickly here, you know, you want to stay organized. I would just say, in America, we seem to have so many things, and we don't need that many things. So I would encourage you, Kristen, to really think through. There was a time in my life where I found myself wanting to hold on to things because my kids, I'm like, oh, I might need this for my younger child, or oh, I might need this for, and you have this, oh, I might need this for mentality. And after a while, you have so much stuff that that stress, you don't realize it, but our things weigh on us. And so I would just say to you, you know, you can keep a much tidier, much neater home, and your family can still be happy with less clothing, less shoes, less toys. I would just say, you know, maybe it's time for a purge, and that can help to keep your house a little bit, I mean, a whole lot more organized so much quicker. So just throwing that out there.
That was great.
I've learned a lot.
We're gonna talk about that in the future. I just made myself a note, like, the minimalist parent. Like,
yes.
You can minimize anxiety by reducing clutter.
Okay. And in your children as well.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. All right, for the love of God, love, we have got to move forward on this. So, that was a good, great question, Kristen. And, you know, here we go. Babe, let's talk about discipline. Why in the world is this such an important conversation? Why are we talking about discipline?
Well, I mean, we talked about it. If you don't discipline your kids, the world is not going to receive good adults. I mean, it's just going to be, yeah.
It's crazy because you can look at a child today and almost get a pretty good sense of what kind of an adult they're going to be based on how their parents interact with them now.
I mean, there are that, right? I mean, let's give a little bit of a caveat here. There is willpower, right? There's freedom. They can make their choices to be who they want. But I think for the most part, parents really do shape a lot of how the kid thinks or how the adult will think, how they will live. But I mean, so I just want to put that in there because there are really great parents and their kids have just gone off.
Sure. Sure. But on the whole, it would be fair to say, I think, that you can oftentimes observe a child's behavior and realize if something doesn't change here,
yes, absolutely,
this child's headed for a train wreck in their future. And it is our job as parents. I would argue that's one of the most important responsibilities of a parent is to discipline their child, to teach their child. We talked about that in a previous podcast, that your job is to be the teacher. And part of that is discipline.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my favorite Proverbs, several years ago, I read through the Proverbs and I highlighted every reference in Proverb towards parenting. And it's amazing what you will discover about parenting in the book of Proverbs. I'd encourage you to do that. But Proverbs 13:24 says, "Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children, but those who love their children care enough to discipline them." And, you know, when it talks about sparing the rod of discipline, that does not necessarily mean beating. It just means this is how I'm going to give guidance to you. I'm going to shape you. I'm going to direct you. And those who don't do that have a disdain or a disregard for their children at a minimum. But those who love them will do the hard work of discipline. And discipline is hard work, isn't it, babe?
Yes, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because here's the bottom line. This is why I think discipline is so important. If you don't discipline your children today, someone who loves them far less will discipline them tomorrow. If you don't take care of them today and discipline them and instruct and teach them today, someone who doesn't really care as much as you do, a judge, an employer, a spouse, an MCO, a police officer, someone who loves them far less than you will or you do will discipline them tomorrow. So, this is why I believe discipline is so important. And before we move forward, I want to say this to you. We've talked about this, and this is our second podcast. In our second podcast, we talked about the importance of parents taking care of themselves. It's the best gift. You are the best gift you can give to your child. And I would say that a parent who's not cared for herself or himself cannot discipline wisely, effectively, and with love. If you're tired, if you're stressed, if you're financially broke, if you're sick, it's going to be very difficult for you to discipline wisely, effectively, and with love. So parents, for the love of God, care for yourself so that you can discipline your children effectively and with love. So, well, hey, let me just share a proverb that's going to kind of shape this conversation we're getting ready to have. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Discipline your child while there is hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives." Discipline your child while there's hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. And when I read this, it sounds almost as if there's a window of time that, if missed, will destroy your child's future. And Sherry, you and I talk about this sometimes because our kids are older now, right? They're from 20 to 12. Mm-hmm. And we realize, like, there are, for some children now, it's too late to discipline. It's too, like, what are we going to do? Like, take their phone? They don't live in the house anymore. Like, you know, ground them from their friends? They don't even live in our house, right? So it's too late to discipline. There is a window of time that, if missed, will, in fact, potentially, if you miss it, potentially destroy your child's future.
Well, I think, looking at it now, I mean, I really feel like discipline, it really needs to take place when they're younger because... I feel like discipline looks completely different in the second half of parenting.
Oh, right.
Like, you don't, like, I mean, I can say to my 16-year-old, you're not going to your friend's house, and they take their car keys, and they go get in their car and go to their friend's house, and then what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, it just, I feel like the place to train a child is when they're young.
Right.
While there's
that window of hope.
Right.
Right.
Because when it gets older, when they are older, it's just not... It just looks completely different, and you feel like you definitely have, and it should be that way. You're training them, you're growing them up. You just kind of start to feel like you have less control, and the truth is, you should, and you do.
Right.
You know.
we've seen, I mean, we've all seen this, right? People who, they're adults now, and you realize, like, the only way this adult is going to change for the better is if there's a drastic intervention.
Well, and it's if they want to change, right?
Right.
It's not us making them change.
Right?
Well, but can you really even force them?
Well, you're incarcerated, or you're
Well, but even then, it's a heart thing, right? I mean, so truthfully, I mean, you're right. You can do all these exterior things, but it's the heart that changes.
You're right.
And it changes the person, right?
You're right.
So I feel like, you know, we're shaping their little hearts into the people that they're needing to be there.
So let me say it like this. Adults who have been living in a destructive way that now have to change, it's so much harder, and the ripple effect is so much bigger. It's going to cost more money, more people are going to be affected, all that,
sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely, yes.
I guess what I would want to say to parents of young children is, discipline effectively now.
Yes.
So there's not a need for some kind of a drastic intervention later.
Right.
Do it now. Do it while they're young.
Right.
Right. Because what happens in their future is dependent upon how you discipline them today.
Yes. Yeah. And you just don't let your kids grow up.
No, for the love of God, don't let them just grow up.
Just let them grow up.
No, I mean, we talked about this. We laugh sometimes, but if we just let our kids do everything they wanted, you know, by the time they're 20, they'd have, you know, sugar diabetes and they'd be broke. You know,
we do have people
out
like
of
that.
School and yeah,
right?
No, you're right.
We have adults like that. I mean,
which is why parents need to discipline. Okay,
yes.
So let's turn the corner. There are six principles that we have discovered for effective discipline, and no matter what your approach to discipline is, you know, some people are like, well, I'm never going to spank. And some people are like, well, I'm never doing timeout. And it doesn't matter. That's not necessarily what we're talking about today. These principles are an important part of any conversation that you're having with regards to discipline. And dad and mom, let me just say this to you. If you're talking about discipline, you too ought to sit down together and have this conversation.
Yes.
A lot of times what happens is dad has his way and mom has her way. And I will tell you, your kids are smart enough to know that, and they will play you against each other.
They want dad's discipline or, you know,
No, literally yesterday we're out on a hike, and Riley wanted to go up on this really, quite frankly, it was a dangerous overlook, and she wanted to get out there, and she came to me. She said, I'm going to ask you, because if I ask mom, I know she'll say no.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so if I actually took a picture of it and posted it on Instagram.
Oh, my goodness.
It gave me a little bit of agita when I saw her sitting there, but the truth is, dad and mom, sit down and figure this out together. Be on the same page. If you're a single parent, sit down, figure it out, put it on a page. Put it on paper. It's a big deal. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. All right, so principle number one for effective discipline. Discipline should always be done in the context of love. If you do not love your child, your discipline is going to be, I would argue, potentially ineffective. It should always be done in the context of love. And let me just flesh this out a bit. When you love someone, you're willing to let him or her hurt or even be the source of their pain in an effort to help them get better. My dad always used to say to me when I was a kid, and he would discipline me, he would say, this hurts me more than it does you. And in those moments, I was like, he is a fool. He's just saying stupid things. You know, and then I became a parent, and it hurts me to hurt my child, and by hurt I mean cause them any kind of pain or any kind of inconvenience, but I love them enough to do that,
right?
Because if I don't, they're going to become Solomon says, "Do it while there's hope; otherwise, you ruin their lives." So I love them enough to be an inconvenience or to cause pain in their life, so that their life will be successful as an adult.
So I think, I mean, and I want to clarify here, because when you start bringing up hurt or pain, this is definitely not abuse.
Oh, thank you.
I mean,
we
need to bring this up, because we are not condoning abuse. This
for the love of God, no.
This is thought through. This is, what am I looking for? This is...
Well, so... No, you're 100%
planned,
right.
I mean, it's almost like it's a plan of a discipline. It's not,
and we're talking about
reckless,
that.
Abusive.
But is there any greater pain for, you know, a 10-year-old than to take their phone?
Right, but okay, yes.
Yeah,
but
and
I'm just
this is
saying,
what I'm... Yeah.
Yes, okay, yeah. So we need to... I just wanted to clarify that, because we started right with, like, we should, I mean, because there are a lot of people that love and then they're abusive. And I want to make sure that, you know, the parents out there understand that this is not at all, we're not condoning abuse.
No, no, absolutely not. No, and we're, and I will tell you, parents who don't care well for themselves are the ones who will probably end up being abusive.
Yes, you're exactly, that's true.
So very good tired, point. Angry, stressed, broke, sick parents
yes.
are the ones who are probably going to be abusive. But the ones who love their child
yes.
are the ones who are willing to inconvenience. And I just use the word pain. You know, maybe there's a better word,
well,
but inconvenience at a minimum and pain. And we're going to talk about this in one of our next steps
here.
It is
here. Painful if you, yes.
Yes. But the point is like, yes. I need to create some kind of inconvenience or pain for them so that they won't do that again.
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So the question then is, how do I show love? If I'm going to discipline in the context of love, if all of my discipline flows out of this idea that I love my child enough to discipline her or him, what's the best way to show love? And I think, babe, it simply comes down to this, time.
Yes, you need to, I mean, it kind of all goes together. You need to know and love your child. You can't walk up and discipline a child and they respond correctly if you've not spent the proper time with them.
Right.
I mean, even, I'm just saying time in general, right? I mean, getting to know them, getting to, you know, that you know their love languages, you know their, you know who they are, what makes them function. And you care, that shows that you care, right? You're in a friendship, a relationship. Obviously, they're your child, but you're in that with them.
Right.
And they know that. And so they're way more...
Receptive.
Yes, receptive to understand, oh, I did wrong, and mom and dad, you know, I mean, they might not understand that at the moment, but they will understand that you love them.
I have found, and we've talked about this, that the more time we spent with our children, the less, the more positive attention, more positive time we gave them, the less negative time we had to spend.
Yes,
with.
Yes, yes.
So, like, for instance, when they were younger and I was dating them every week.
Yes.
I mean, we still certainly had to discipline.
Sure.
But it wasn't, and we could tell a difference. And oftentimes, the issue for children who are acting out is this often a cry for attention.
Right. Maybe for some time or, yeah, I agree with you.
So when I spend more time, I have to discipline less. And when I spend more time, the discipline is received better by our children. That was all. They could trust that dad loves them, that mom loves them, and so they receive yes. that discipline. Not that they enjoyed it at all.
No.
But they received it better, yes. was our experience. So principle number one, discipline should always be done in the context of love. Mm-hmm. All right? Number two, discipline should always be done with an eye to the future. This is a big one. Babe, a couple weeks ago, you really kind of teed off on this in one of the questions that we had. Someone was talking about how they talked about discipline, right? And public discipline versus private discipline. I don't know if you remember that conversation.
I do a little bit.
But I would just say, if we're not careful, discipline can quickly become more about the present than the future.
Yes.
I'm disciplining you yes. because you've aggravated me, you've disrupted me, you've embarrassed me.
Yes.
And that's why I'm disciplining you, rather than I'm disciplining you because I'm concerned
yes.
about your future.
Yes. Yeah, and that I think when you look at their, when you realize you're disciplining for their future, you discipline differently. You know,
right.
you and I will just say this, you as a parent will choose what you're going to discipline. You choose what you're going to discipline. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You're not disciplining for every little thing. You choose what are the things, like what are the principles that you have agreed to in your family, and you discipline out of those. So like if you choose honesty and your child lies, you discipline for being dishonest. You don't discipline for something silly like a sock laying on the floor, for the most part. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's, you discipline more out of principle than you do out of like the small little insignificant things.
So I think, you know, one of the things we talk about in the ebook is if this behavior continues, what kind of an adult will my child be? So for instance, let me just give you some examples. My child has a habit of interrupting. If this behavior continues, what kind of an adult will my child be? My child is disrespectful in how she talks to me or other adults. If this behavior continues, what kind of an adult will my child be? My child spends a lot of time watching pointless and even stupid videos on social media. If this behavior continues, what kind of an adult will my child be? One more. My child just will not clean up his mess. If this behavior continues, what kind of adult will my child be? And so it's not, you didn't clean your room, and I'm angry that you didn't clean your room, so I'm going to discipline you. That's disciplining in the moment, right? And maybe because you're a little angry or frustrated, you said it 8 times. The issue here, I think, should be with an eye to the future. Hey, buddy, if you don't do this now, what kind of an adult are you going to be later? And I don't know that I would actually say that to my 5-year-old. That would be weird. But
no, but you're thinking that as a parent,
like, if I don't discipline this child,
because your discipline window is when they're young, right?
Correct.
When they're in the first half parenting.
Yep.
So if you don't discipline in that first half, the second half gets a little shaky, you know?
Hey, I'm just going to tell you right now, like, so our kids are, what, at this point right now, we got a 20, 19, 17, almost 18, 16, almost 17. We've got a 13, almost 14, and a 12. You know, that's crazy. Like, and I will tell you, like, you can't just, at this point, it's almost too late to discipline, like, these kids.
Yes, you do it. Do it when they're little. Teach them when they're little. It's like looking at it now, it's so much easier to teach them when they're young.
Yeah.
Because they're more, their hearts are more moldable. They're more, they're just more responsive to us,
yeah.
Right? When they're older, they're trying to separate from us, right? They're trying to make their own life when they get older. And it's, if you haven't kind of helped to guide them when they're younger, to shape their hearts into the principles that you want that you cherish as a family, it's going to be way more difficult when they're older. So yeah, it's still going back to that.
Do it while there's hope, right?
Right.
And do it with an eye to their future.
Yes.
You know, so that, again, I'm asking myself all the time, like, if I don't do this, if I let this behavior continue, what kind of an adult will my child be?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Principle number 3. Discipline should be predetermined. All right? This is a big one. If the discipline is not... Well, so first of all, what do you mean by predetermined? Babe, kind of walk us through that a little bit. What do you mean by that?
So, when our kids were little, we actually, again, based on principles, we sat down and said, you know, and there might be other things where you feel like, man, you know, your house is falling apart or... And it's because your kids aren't taking responsibility. So the overarching principle would be responsibility, right?
Right, right.
So you would say, okay, we're going to have a chart. It says responsibility. And here's what it looks like. And then you kind of go by age. Obviously, we're not going to treat a 6-year-old like we do a 1-year-old, correct?
Right.
I mean, so the 1-year-old's going to have a lot more hands-on. And maybe, you know, you have so you set a discipline for them if they don't want to listen to what you say. When it's time to, you know, hey, we have a responsibility. You pulled all these toys out. You're going to help clean up. And if they, you know, they don't want to help clean up, they want to throw a fit, then maybe that toy box tomorrow, or maybe it's like early in the day, maybe that toy box is taken away and it's off limits. You see what I'm saying? Like, so but you set that chart,
right?
Of, hey, if you're not going to be responsible, then the object is removed.
So the discipline was determined beforehand.
Right. So
it wasn't like I'm just making it up,
right?
You know, pulling it out of my yin yang on the spot.
Nice, Paul. Yin yang. Like... Seriously, good choice of words.
Hey, now. Oh, here we go. Hey, but seriously, like I've found that if I make up discipline on the spot,
yes,
it is generally dependent on my mood.
Exactly. And then you find, even for a mom, like, so if you're tired because maybe you were up with the baby all night and you've got a 2-year-old that does not want to listen and you don't have a chart laid out for how you should discipline for the things that you feel, you know, your child doesn't obey in, then you start to, man, I'm exhausted today. You're going to lose the whole playroom.
Right.
Whereas, you know, 2 days down the road, you might be feeling great. And you know, Susie does the same thing and she just might lose one little toy and she can play with the whole. You see what I'm saying?
I noticed this even recently, much to my chagrin. I said to one of our younger daughters, if you don't do this, I'm going to ground you for, and like the next thing that started to come out of my mouth was like a month.
And you like retracted it.
No, I caught myself and like, well, that's stupid. I mean, it's if you don't clean the cat litter, I'm going to ground you for a month.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Right. Yeah. And the reason was is because I didn't have a predetermined. I mean, she's old enough now and she does it pretty consistently. I was a little tired, a little frustrated. I already said it to her several times. The point is, predetermined discipline absolutely removes my mood or my emotions from the discipline process. And so, like, let's talk a little bit about what we mean. You keep talking about this chart. So let's talk a little bit about, there was a moment where when our kids were young, we realized we keep talking about the same things in our house. We keep disciplining the same things, and it feels like we keep dealing with the same issues. And so we sat down and we identified at that point, and they changed over time. But at that point, I remember there were like four specific issues that we were dealing with.
And yeah, and so I want to, before you go further, you can't work on everything.
Nope, can't deal with
it. You can't work on everything. So pick the things that matter.
No, you'd have a bill like,
I mean, it would just be dumb. You would be, honestly, because your kids are not perfect, you'd be fussing at least one of your kids all the time, right? Because they would just be continually, hey, you dropped that on the ground. It would just be a nightmare. So you've got to pick.
Yeah. So we had, I think, four. It was like lying, disrespect,
responsibility was one of them.
Yeah, responsibility and then taking something that didn't belong to you.
Yeah. And then they knew the consequences.
Right. We sat down and we went through each, and we're talk about this in a minute, but we went through each child and we just said, okay, if our 6-year-old does it, if she lies, here's what happens to her. If our 4-year-old does it, here's what happens to her. If our 2-year-old does it, here's what happens to her. And then when the 6-year-old lied, we just went and looked at the chart.
We actually took the 6-year-old with us.
Yeah. And we said, okay, here's what happens.
Yes.
And so that absolutely removed our emotions from the parenting process. Yes.
And I would just say, parents, you have this ability. Listen, spanking is not the only thing in the picture for discipline.
For sure.
There are so many ways. And this is where, you know, we had talked about getting a PhD in your kid. This is where you should know your child and you should be able to say, hey, this is what's going to work for my child.
And we'll talk about that in just a minute.
Yeah, I'm jumping ahead.
You are totally jumping ahead.
Does that bother you?
It does bother me a little bit.
Oh, but yeah. So making the chart is a big deal. So you can predetermine.
And we actually have a chart. If you go on our website under resources, firsthalfparenting.com, go into resources. We have a chart there that you can just download. And when you click on it, you can be like, "Well, this is simple," and it is. It really is. You just need to identify what's the behavior that we're looking to correct. What's the punishment? What happens when they do this certain behavior?
Remember, because we want to gift the world these adults that are responsible, they're just going to be great contributors to the world.
Yeah, and that's because you're doing the hard work of discipline right now.
Yes.
So it should be predetermined. Principle number four, discipline should be significant. And this is going to be a fun one, right? Let me just throw this line out here and go ahead. What are you thinking?
Well, I wanted to say too, you know, like with discipline, I just read a note here.
Oh, okay. Good.
I don't even know that it might come in a little bit later. So go ahead.
Okay.
Jump into it.
I just totally set up this next line and I'm going to start all over.
Go ahead.
Principle number four.
Sorry.
Discipline should be significant. All right. I'm going to put out an important line here. All right. If discipline does not cause pain, the problem will continue.
Yes.
I mean, I think about this. There are some things I only need to do once to realize, oh, don't want to do that again. Touch a hot stove, holy cow, don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
Right? Stick my finger in a socket, oh gosh, don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
Now, again, both of those I've talked about physical pain, and I want to go back to what you said. Discipline is not always about physical pain.
Right.
But it should be significant enough. Whatever happens, whatever method of discipline you choose, it should cause enough pain/inconvenience that your child will say, well, I don't want to do that again. That wasn't worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I remember a time when my mom disciplined me and I couldn't go. I was so looking forward to this big 13th birthday party and I couldn't go to it. And she's like, nope. You did such and such, so you can't go.
Babe, I have never heard the story.
Yes, you did. No, I told you this.
What'd you say? What'd you do?
What did I do?
Yeah.
So my, it's really silly, but it was important back then. My mom had just bought me like brand new sneakers, and we only got like one pair of sneakers a year for school. And she bought me brand new sneakers, and I don't know why. I didn't know if I didn't find my other ones. I'm not even sure why I didn't change them. Or maybe I'd worn them to school and didn't come home and put my old shoes on. I don't know. But I went outside and played in those brand new sneakers. And we had gone over to, so we lived in the country, and we'd gone across the street back in the cornfields. And back behind all of the cornfields, there was this big mound of dirt. And my girlfriends and I were back there, and we were like, you know, running up the dirt, running down the dirt. And on the other side of the dirt was like this muddy pit. And I don't know why we went into the muddy pit. I don't know why, but we did. And I ended up, my girlfriend was like, it was kind of like a sink pit, and she ended up sinking down in. And so I'm down there trying to pull her out. And at the same time, by the time we both got out, I had lost one of my shoes in the pit and in that mud pit. And I couldn't go back to get it because I was afraid of sinking in it. So I ran up the mountain or the mound hill, went back home. And I remember I didn't come back with a shoe, and that was my school shoe. And my mom was just upset. So she's like, well, you're not going to that 13th birthday party because you know better than to wear your shoes over there. And so it wasn't the physical pain, and I was devastated. I mean, to this day, I'm like, I mean, gosh, I have kids that are 13. My youngest is almost 13, you know, our youngest daughter. And I still remember that to this day because it wasn't a physical pain, but it was something that I really wanted to be a part of, and I couldn't go. So that's why I say there's just so many other ways to discipline than...
And hence the legend of old one shoe sharing.
Yeah, anyway. So.
That's crazy. Okay, well. So, I mean, that really is the point. You know, your job as a parent is to know what hurts the most.
Right.
Right. And so, and we've talked about this in podcast number 5, you should have a PhD in your child. What hurts the most? Like when I was a child, I mean, I would prefer a spanking. Please, for the love of God, spank me. I'll take that spanking, but don't ground me from the phone.
Right. And a spanking wasn't going to be what changed
you. No. And so your job as a parent is to know your child well enough to know what hurts the most.
And I will say, honestly, parents, when kids are really little, I found that when our children were small, you know, a smack on the tush, if you meant business, kind of got the job done.
Right.
You know, I mean, it wasn't, like, you didn't have to be abusive. It kind of, you know, you just left them know, you know, and I've seen parents. I talked to a lady the other day. She just said, you know, when I was younger, my mom used to take her fingers and just like wrench them in the side of my shoulder.
Right.
And, you knew you better pony up right then and there. Or so, you know, I mean, there are things that will change.
Right.
The situation, the scenario to help you obey.
Yeah. And again, I think, you know, we've got kids. They're so funny. Like we've got some that just a hard look will be like, will melt their soul. And others, if you send them a hard look, they'll like send you back some steely eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I will outstare you.
Yeah, right.
You really do have to know your child.
Right.
And your discipline should be significant.
Yes.
I want my child to think it's not worth it to disobey. Yes. It's just not worth it. I know what's going to happen because it's predetermined.
Yes, I was going to say
so
that.
So if I lie, I know what's going to happen. Yes. And it's not worth it. So I'm not going to lie. Because it hurts to lie. Yes. It stinks. It's really inconvenient. So I want my child to do that. And that kind of brings us to the fifth principle, and that is discipline should be personalized. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of touched on this, but what is significant to one child is meaningless to another.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So for our family, we have a child where spanking.
No, jeez.
You could spank and spank and spank and spank and spank, and they'd look at you and be like, okay, I'm going to go do that again.
Right,
you know, absolutely. So that is not the process to use on that child. So, yes, I think really understanding your child when you make the chart, and it takes time, and it changes.
Right. Oh, gosh, yeah,
it does. Changes. So, parent, I mean, like, don't think that you have this down for the next 6 years, because you don't. You might have it down for 6 months.
Yeah. But if your discipline's going to be effective, which is what we want, right? Because there's a window of hope. There's a season of hope. Discipline your child while there's hope.
Yes.
Otherwise, you ruin their lives. And so my job is to have a PhD in my child, to understand my child, and to know what will be significant for them, and then to create their discipline around that. Yes. Because if it's not personalized, it won't be effective.
Yes.
Yeah, and here's something else, though. Parents who do not personalize their child's discipline will default to either the easiest way or the harshest way. The easiest being like, no, they'll just kind of ignore it or just let it go or just kind of like yell at them or whatever. The harshest being they'll abuse them.
Yes.
They'll beat them, right?
Yeah.
And obviously that's not okay. And the other thing I would say is if you have multiple children, you will have multiple means of discipline.
Yes.
And they will say it's not fair. Why did he get a spanking and I have to do time out? Well, dude, because spanking doesn't work for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And your job as a parent is not to be fair, it's to be effective.
Yes.
So, I want to zero in on this. The best way to personalize your child's discipline is to find out what they love the most and work your way down from there. You know? So if your child loves hanging out with their friends, that might be something that you want to keep in mind.
Right.
If your child would prefer to come home from school and sit in their room and read a book or play video games, you know, like banning them from their friends isn't going to be effective at all.
No.
You know?
No.
So you need to think through what causes them the biggest inconvenience, what hurts them the most, and be willing to do that. And you don't always have to go, you know, to the extremes when you're disciplining, but it helps to shape and personalize your discipline when you're aware of the things that they love the most.
Right. Right. And I would say too, I mean, if you can discipline a child by, you know, something more easily than it having to be harsh, and your child is very sensitive and they, you know, they learn from that, then don't. I mean, it's not about, like, discipline is not about, like, I'm going to be mean and harsh.
No, no.
You know, discipline is, again, it goes back to this love. We love our children. And so if discipline is easy for one child, then discipline them easy if they're learning. You don't, like, I mean, some of our children were easy to discipline. They didn't take a lot of work. Their heart was just a little bit more tender when it came to that and compliable. Whereas, you know, we've got some other children which are, you know, were very strong-willed and wanted it their way, you know? And so that became a little bit more challenging. But I would just say, you know, again, know your child and work through it and not wanting to hurt them.
No, you're doing it with an eye to the future, right? That's one of the principles we just talked about. Do it with an eye to the future. You are creating an adult.
I know discipline is such a touchy subject. Like, it's...
Right.
But it's such a necessary... I mean, it's such a necessary subject.
No, someone will discipline your child. It will be you or someone who doesn't care.
Yeah, okay.
And so do it.
Yep.
Like, you do it because you care the most.
Yes.
Right? So, hey, final principle here. Discipline should be consistent. And this is tough. Because to be consistent means I have to get up off the couch. You know, you come home, you're tired, you've worked all day. You know, I think about Kristen, her and her husband. They both worked all day long.
Yes.
They're tired.
Yes.
You know, they finally put the kids down to bed. They sit down on the couch, they're like, oh. And then they hear noise upstairs.
Yeah.
You know. And they know that one of their kids is out of bed again, running around. You know, the easy thing to do is to, you know, ignore it. Or just pray that it goes away.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but the right thing to do is to be consistent.
Yes.
To go upstairs and do what you said you would do.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. This next line is important. Babe, tell them it's important. I'm serious. Tell them it's important.
Yes. This next line, stop everything you're doing. And listen up.
Yes. All right. Here we go. When you are inconsistent with your discipline, your kids will not know what to expect. And when they don't know what to expect, you can expect the worst. I need to say that again. I don't think I delivered that well.
Okay,
here we go. When you're inconsistent with your discipline, your kids will not know what to expect. And when your kids don't know what to expect, you can expect the worst. The best gift I can give to my children is consistency. Well, one of the best gifts I can give is consistency. Mm-hmm. They know if I lie, then this happens.
Yes.
If I speak disrespectfully, then this happens. If I take something that's not mine, then this happens. Every time. It's a big deal.
Well, I think when you're consistent, your level of discipline will go down.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
Because your kids, so like if you, you know, if you tell your kid, hey, I'm going to let you disobey me for five times, and then on the sixth time, you'll know I'm serious.
I'm just going to drop the hammer.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So, but why not say, hey, I've asked you to do this the first time. And if you heard me and gave me eye contact and you know and you did not do it, there's a consequence.
There is a consequence.
Right, because if you push it to the second time, then they're going to learn, oh, okay, mom and dad are consistent on punishing on the second time.
So I'm going to, you know, let me poke the bear a minute. Because so, I hear parents do this all the time. And I think we probably did it for a little bit, but then we realized it was stupid. Like, your child is doing something like disobeying, right? And you give them the 1, 2, 3 count.
No, all right? No, no.
1, 2, 3. You know what you've just taught them? Is this okay to disobey until mom or dad hits 3?
Exactly.
Wrong yes. answer. Right? Because so, that's a child that's going to grow into an adult that doesn't listen the first, that doesn't do things, right? That's not self-controlled, you're going to gift the world a terrible adult.
Well, yes, with that eye to the future, but I mean, I'm thinking at it as a mom with little kids, and you want to give your child 1, 2, 3, and they're running out to the road.
Oh, that's good, babe. That's even better.
You know what I'm saying? Really, I'm like, oh my goodness, moms and dads, stop giving 1, 2, 3s and start giving 1.
Right.
I very clearly have said to you, I've looked you in the eye, and you've heard me, and you've chose to disobey. When you're consistent with that, they're going to get it. Oh, there's no 2 or 3s.
Right. And they know what's going to happen because it's predetermined.
Right. So, oh man, consistency is, yes, it's such a big thing.
Yeah, I would just say inconsistent discipline leads to inconsistent behavior in your children, which leads to inconsistent adults.
Yes.
So we have to be consistent in our discipline. And it is hard. It is hard, especially when you're tired and exasperated and when you have a ton of kids.
Yes.
It's just hard.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, if you will discipline that inconveniences you today, will make you proud tomorrow. You will look at your children and be like, it was worth it.
Yes. Yes. Well, and again, you will be proud because you won't have to keep disciplining as much, as right. often, because your kids will know from little that you're serious from day one.
Exactly. Yep.
So, exactly and right. so definitely start being consistent from the time they're very little, you know? I you know, sometimes, I know we got to wrap this up, but sometimes, you know, when kids are little, it's kind of cute when they disobey or when they, and we have to be really careful in those moments because sometimes it is cute, but if they catch a glimpse of us thinking it's cute too much, we're going to become inconsistent in their right. eyes.
Yep.
And so I, you know, just a word of caution, not that we're not fun and we're not, you know, enjoying their cuteness when they're 1 or 2. But just remembering that kids are smart. They are smart even at 2. They know how to play the game. You know, they know how to, oh, you know, maybe I can get away with this even at 2. Right. So I'm just saying they learn no really quickly, right? Yep. They will tell you no very quickly. So just be consistent, parent. And, you know, enjoy them because it does get beautiful when you are consistent, right?
It does, yep. And I just want to kind of wrap up with the proverb we've been talking about this whole time. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your child while there's hope.
Yes.
Otherwise, you will ruin their future.
Yeah.
And so, dad, mom, you got a big responsibility on your hands. You know, you've been blessed with a child. You've been blessed with the responsibility of teaching and molding and shaping and guiding this child. And one of your bigger responsibilities is this whole idea of discipline. So we shared six principles of discipline. Just want to review them real quick and hope that you'll be able to engage these in your parenting process. Discipline should always be done in the context of love. It should be done with an eye to the future. It should be predetermined. It should be significant. It should be personalized. And it should be consistent. Babe, anything you want to put out there before we wrap this up?
Yes, I want to say, so parenting is, we don't ever get it perfect, right?
No,
we don't. I mean, we don't get it perfect. We don't get discipline perfect all the time. And I just want to say to the parents out there, you know, we're all doing our best.
Yep.
You know, you're disciplining from what you are reading or learning or what your parents have taught you. And I would just say, you know, keep learning, keep growing, keep working at this thing, keep understanding that you have this beautiful individual that is not going to stay long or little for long, and they're going to grow up, and you want to give them the best opportunity to blossom in the world and be a contributor. And so I just say to you, you know, give yourself grace and pick yourself up, listen to a podcast, start again, work together with your spouse. You've got this, you know, you've got this parenting thing and we're here for you. And, go do this thing. Go love your children.
Absolutely. Hey, we have some resources for you. Today's conversation flows out of this is baby step 5 in the first half parenting process. We have this, we have an ebook that you can go to our website, firsthalfparenting.com, and you can download this for free. It's called Baby Step Number 5, Do Discipline That Works. So our website, firsthalfparenting.com, go check that out. On that, we also have a lot of resources, other resources available to you. We have a link to books that we recommend as parents. Go there, firsthalfparenting.com, explore that. We also have a YouTube channel. Just get on YouTube, type in First Half Parenting. For the love of God, babe, how many videos do we have on our YouTube channel right now?
Well, I was just thinking, we have a couple that we could actually put on there. So I was just thinking of topics right now we could actually kind of
sweet
talk through.
And... We still have one.
Well, I know. Well, what is wrong with us?
I don't know. Like, I feel like every time we get in these great conversations, one of us has a bedhead or something.
Oh, yes. That could be very true.
Okay. But so the YouTube channel really is like for those moments when we're riding down the road and we are talking about something like this would be helpful for parents. And we just grab a phone and shoot a video. So we're going to put more up there. But let's do this. By the next time our next podcast, we'll have at least one more.
Well, I have one idea, so we're good.
Okay, good. Good.
Hopefully.
Go. the podcast you can find on Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Just search for First Half Parenting. Any questions that you have, if you're enjoying these podcasts, we would love to hear from you. Even if you just want to say, hey, we just would like to hear that. You can send us a note on Facebook, Instagram, or you can email us at paul@firsthalfparenting.com. Guys, we want to say a lot. Thanks. Thank you for joining us. If this is helpful for you, please share it. Please let your friends know because we want to help people. And, the more we're able to have this conversation, the better we get. And so, bring other people into the loop. All right. We love you. Anything else, babe, before we get out of here?
Nope. Lots of love.
That's
Go
it.
Get it.
Lots of love. You got this. See ya.
Bye.
You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.